Chapter 1, and we're going to preach on commitment this morning. What is commitment? And I believe that a lot of y'all know a little something about commitment because you've been here a long time, and you know something about commitment. But let's get a refresher course on it. It's kind of like, you know, getting retested out, requalifying out, you know, on a gun range. Or if you have a certification, you got to retest. It's not that you don't know the stuff. It's just to make sure you're fresh, and that if there's been any changes, you're in tune with the changes in the progress. But let's get into scriptures. Let's learn a little something about commitment. Now let's pray, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Our gracious Father in heaven, we come. We thank you now for today. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the privilege to live in a country like America, that we can come today. We don't have to worry about being drug out or shot. We don't have to worry about meeting in secret. But Father, we're here. You've given us a building, and Father, you've given us a place to meet. We thank you for that. Help us to stay focused on the things that are important for you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, about verse 8, we're going to start. We're going to read a few verses here. He says here, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Now watch this. We're going to quickly learn that commitment with God is a two-way street. There's going to be some things that you commit to God, and that means to keep into trust, or delivered in trust, or given in charge, or engaged to do. That's what the word committed means. And so we commit our souls to God. But God, on the flip side, commits something to us. Verse 14, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." I believe that we are living in a day when people do not want to commit. They have commitment issues. They don't want to talk about commitment. They don't want to live their lives about commitment. They don't even pray about commitment. This mostly has to do with too many churches. A lot of people, they can't decide what church to join because they're afraid that there might be a better one down the road. I got news for you. Probably is. All right? It probably is. The Bible says we need to esteem others better than ourselves. I believe that one of the problems in America today is we have too many choices. Remember years ago in our father's generation? what was that one saying about the Model T Ford? You could have it at any color you wanted as long as it was black. That's the only choice you had. Boys, life was simple back then, wasn't it? I mean, life was simple when you first started buying a phone. You only had one style to choose from. this creates, so when there's too many choices, this creates an environment of non-commitment. It changes your attitude. Why? Because we want to make the best choice possible, and we want to make the choice that best makes us feel good or fulfilled. And so we live our lives undecided because we're afraid that there might be something better out there. Oh man, I could really park here and preach this. America, many people, they won't commit to relationships. They won't commit to their church because they're afraid that there might be a better one out there, and they'll trade up. Oh boy. I believe that this generation is the least committed generation to date. We can't commit to marriages. We can't commit to churches. We can't commit to our jobs. And we can't commit to friendships. You know it. I know it. We got a problem with commitment. Every choice is based on how a person feels and what makes them feel the most fulfilled as a person. We even go so far as to not have any friends who might not make us feel warm and fuzzy. Absolutely. I was talking with a person months back, and they said, I'm eliminated any person in my life that does not uplift me. Wow. Wow, really? You're not into no constructive criticism then, huh? I guess the Holy Spirit was the first one to go then, right? I mean, every time I get in this book, he kind of shines that mirror and lets me look at myself and I go, oh me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a worm and no man, as Job said. Oh boy. This generation makes all of its decisions based off of feelings. And they won't commit. Commitment frees you. Commitment frees you because it eliminates other choices and it simplifies your life. It does. Commitment is also not a switch that you turn off and on. Now, God gave me this the other day. I know it wasn't the devil. Commitment is not convenience. There it is. People only want to be committed if it's convenient. There it is. As long, and when it starts not being convenient, then I'm just not going to be committed no more. I'm out of here. Well, that's not true Bible commitment. And it's not a switch. You don't turn that thing off and on. Well, I don't believe in commitment no more. We've seen a lot of that. You know it. You know I'm in the right ball field this morning on this commitment issue. And I promise you this. I promise you this. God will not bless a church and a people that are not committed. He won't do it. If you stay in indecisiveness, He can't bless it because you don't want to make a decision because you're afraid there might be a better one. Well, hindsight's always 20/20, but God blesses faith. You make the best decisions. Now, let me share the golden nugget with you. If you back up to verse 12, on any decision you make, watch this. On the last half of this verse, verse 12, He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Did you see that? That little word unto, it's broke down in two parts. It has a prefix. And then the word to. The word to denotes direction. It tells you what direction. I'm walking to Food City. I'm walking to McDonald's. Later, I'm walking to the Rib House. You know, it denotes direction. And He says the things that you commit and the decisions that you make, they need to be in the direction of God that brings and works more godliness. So the devil, he is definitely going to give you some ideals. The devil is going to give you choices because that's what He gave Eve in the garden. He gave Eve multiple choice question, did He not? He got Eve to focus on the things that she could not do. There, you know, we don't know how many trees was in the garden, but I promise you this, there was more than 100 of them, and there was more than 100 of those trees and vines and fruit trees and nut trees. I mean, it's just not just an apple tree in that garden. You had nut trees, you had all kinds of different nut trees and fig trees and grapevines and all that, but yet devil got her focused on the one tree she couldn't touch. Made a case out of it. And said, well, you just don't have freedom of choice. Look what God's... Yeah, you got to focus on what God wasn't doing or what God wouldn't allow her to do, but instead of having her focus on what God will let you do. So your decisions, that little prefix, U-N, it goes with the word under. Submit. That's why it's spelled that way. And that means that any decision you make, you're going to make and be submissive to the will of God. And it should be, if you want to say, I don't know if it's the right direction or right decision, it should bring you closer to God. It should bring you into more alignment with the Word of God. It should get you into more services for God. And it should give you into more ministry for God. That's what the right right decision is. I remember years ago, a close friend of mine, they're out of church now, and if they do attend, it's a very liberal church, but I remember the Sunday that he jumped up, he was sitting over there on the right side there in Brigham Baptist Church, and I don't care if they get this because it's come to pass. And I remember the son, he said, "Oh man, I want to thank y'all. I've been praying, and God, lights out up there, ain't it?" Okay, I thought it was a little dark in here. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. But I remember him saying, "God's answered my prayer, and he's given me this job." And he said, "Boy, God's been so good." And he said, "Give me this job." But he said, now, boys, I'm going to tell you tonight, telling the whole church, I'm not going to be able to be here no more on a Sunday. You know, because this job, God's given me, it was so good to give it to me. And I'm just not going to be here no more because I got to work." I knew then, I was sitting over there, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my soul, God didn't give you that job. God didn't give you that job. God, the devil give you that to get you out of church. And you better watch it." It was a year to the date that they were totally out of church. Because he wasn't working on Wednesday night, so they started coming on Wednesday night. Then they started missing that Wednesday night. Wasn't working Sunday night. He could have come Sunday night, but he wasn't coming Sunday night because he worked that day. He was tired, you know, all the excuses. Got to get my toenails clipped. I need a little pedicure. And by the way, the kiddies, we got a game to go to over here. And then it was a year they were totally out. You say, did God give him that job? No, he did not. You say, how do you know that? You don't know that, preacher. I do. The Word of God says any decision you commit to needs to bring you closer to God. Commitment frees you from your past. Let me start preaching my message. You got it all free this morning. Commitment frees you from the past. Paul had a past. Boy, I was going to get into this. I might not even get into all this message this morning. We might finish it next week because I don't want to keep us too long. Maybe I'll just introduce it and preach the introduction, and then we'll get into the rest later. But commitment's going to free you from your past. We do need that. It's very important that we get over there into Joshua chapter 24 and we look at what God did when the children of Israel committed. Joshua was right over there where Joshua drew the line in the sand and said, all those that are for the God, you get on this side because this is God's side, and all those that don't want it, you get over there. And as for me and my house, I'll just tell you what decision we're going to make. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make decisions that get us closer to God, and this is where we're standing. And so they said, he said, now you're going to have to not be halted between two opinions. Well, we've heard that phrase before. Remember Elijah over there on the hills of Mount Carmel, those Baalites, and all of Israel was in this indecisive state. And they said, boy, we just don't know who to pick. If we're going to serve Baal, if we're going to serve God. And Elijah said, look, that's a bunch of stupidity. You need to make a decision. You want to serve Baal? Serve him. You want to serve God? You need to serve him. By the way, let's have a little trial by fire. We all know how that came out. Joshua said, he says, you want to serve the gods of your fathers that were serving those false gods before the flood? Or are you going to serve God? And they said, we're not going to serve those gods over there on the other side. See, when you commit, it will free you from your past. People don't want to commit because they're still in love with Baal, the things of this world. The point I really want to drive home today is commitment is a true way, two-way street. You're going to commit your soul to Christ, and then God is going to commit something to you. He told Timothy, now the things that thou has been committed to thee, you keep them. We're going to preach on that this year. We're going to have a series of lessons that we need to be. God is committed to us, the church. And we need to assemble. And we don't need to forsake that assembly. He's committed. That everything starts with the local New Testament church. Then you've got to be committed to prayer. God's committed some prayer to us. We need to be prayer warriors. But God's committed ministry to us. We need to be serving him. He said, you've been saved unto good works. There's some things I've put into your trust that I've committed to you because you've committed your soul to me. If you got saved just to pay up your fire insurance, you're lost. Because you were trying to get saved for a selfish reason. God hates pride. He hates that proud look. And he hates that selfishness. Man is selfish by nature. And a lot of people, they're tricked into saying a sinner's prayer Because they don't want, they want to pay up their fire insurance. And it starts a little bit something like this. You want to go to heaven, don't you? Well, who don't? You want to live forever in the lap of luxury, don't you? And a mansion on a street of gold. Yeah, who doesn't? Amen. Well, just you repeat after me and everything will be just, and follow me and everything will be just fine in glory. You're lost. You didn't understand. You don't understand what you did. You're just trying to pay up some fire insurance somebody was selling you. And you say, how would you know that, preacher? Because this Bible says that when you truly get converted, when you commit your soul to God, God's committed something to you, and you're not going to get away from it. It's something He's put in your trust, and you're going to be about the Master's business. You're not going to be fishing for fish no more. You'll be fishing for men. And if your job is not about God's business, you better be checking up on what you're calling salvation. Because you ain't going to get me at the great right throne judgment and point your little finger at me and said, preacher, you didn't tell me I might have been lost. All this preacher's telling you now, if you got to try to live right, you're lost. Saved people don't try to live right. Saved people do live right. He said, well, yeah, you think about that for a minute. If you're trying to live right, and you say, I just can't get a grip on this thing. Every time I turn around, I got something going on. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to live right. Preacher, I'm really trying. Then you're lost. You don't have that new creature down inside there. Saved people, born again people, live right. Because God's down in there. Let me illustrate that point. Let me end with an illustration. I don't want to be too long. I think I can speak it from memory. This is a great illustration that illustrates this point. And I want to use it this morning. I shared it with those Friday night, but I'm going to share it again. There was this man who owned a home in Haiti. And he wanted to sell that home. But he wanted $2,000 for that house. And along come another man, and he wanted to buy that house very badly. But he did not have $2,000. He only had $1,000. So he approached the owner and said, I want your house. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but I only have $1,000. And that owner, he thought about that for a little bit. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. He said, I'll sell you the house for $1,000. You can have everything that goes there except one nail above the front door. I'll retain ownership of that one nail. The guy that was buying the house said, what's one nail going to do? Yeah, so they wrote it all up. That man owned that nail. And so a year later, the original owner come back. He said, you know, I made a mistake. I want that house back. So he approached the new owner. And he says, look, I need you to sell me my house back. I think it was a mistake for me selling it. I need you to buy it. I need you to sell it back to me. He said, I'm not selling it. I really like the house. I love it. I enjoy it here. I got it for a good price. I'm not selling it back to you. He said, okay. So he went out and he found him a dead cat. He brought it in and he hung it up on that one nail. There's nothing that new owner could do because he owned that nail in that house. And that cat began to stink. And that cat started rotten. And it smelled up the whole house. It got so bad in there that that guy had to move out. And he abandoned the property. The original homeowner come in. And he owned it now. The guy abandoned it. He took the dead cat out, swept it out. It was good to go. See, the moral of the story is, when you come to Christ, if you won't totally commit, you won't let the devil have just one little nail in your house. And the Bible says this is your house. When you get saved, Jesus is the new owner. Well, all right, Jesus, you can have 99% of it, but I got that one nail I like. You know, I like to party on a Friday night now. I like them old rock and roll concerts and all that. You know, I love that stuff. And so I'm going to let him have just one little nail. And so anytime the devil wants to come along, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and he wants to take you captive, he wants his house back, He's going to hang his trash up on that nail that you left him in your house when you come to see Jesus because you didn't give it all to him. And then your house begins to stink in the sin that you love. You know, but I just don't know why I can't get this figured out. It's because the devil still owns a nail in your house because you were just trying to pay up on fire insurance. God didn't get it all. Because when God, you commit your soul to God, there's some things that God commits to you. And therein lies our problem today. We got people running around. They don't want to commit. They only want to be committed if it's convenient. They only want to commit if they think you're a part of a winning team. They only want to commit if it's doing good. As soon as it starts going a little bad, they're out of there. Commitment of convenience. And a lot of people, they think they accept Christ and they do it because it's convenient and it's easy and it sounds good and it's what's in it for me. And you can tell them when they walk into the church, say, what's here for me? Oh, the devil's got him a nail there. He's got him a nail there and it's starting to stink. Oh, you need to get that right. See, God's never going to do anything with you. As we learn next week, I'll finish the message next week. Then we'll get into it. You have to commit to salvation, and you have to commit salvation the right way. It's all in. It's all in. You can't just get in and say, well, you know, I just want just a little bit. I don't want to become a fanatic. You ain't ready to get saved yet. Well, I still like my old lifestyle. I'm not going to repent about that, preacher. You ain't ready to get saved yet. You're still lost. Oh, no, I said some magic words. You know, those little magic spirits. Now, that the Bible calls that sorcery. Someone tried to give you a mumbo-jumbo spell. You know, that little sinner's prayer. And you think those words saved you. Uh-uh. The Bible says with the heart, that's where the house is. And it's all got to go to God. You can't give half of it to Him. It can't go on stony ground. It can't go on rocky ground. It can't go where the thorns are. He's got to have good ground. And it can't be good ground until you give it all to Him. We got a bunch of stillborns running around here. You know what a stillborn is. No new life put in them. No Holy Spirit down in there. I want to live like the devil all week, come into church on Sunday, and then try to vote on something spiritual. Mm-mm. No. Devil's got a nail in your house. You're starting to stink. I suggest you give Jesus that nail this morning. Give Him the nail. Let Him have the nail. Don't let the devil come into your house and put that dead cat on his nail. Remove him. Get him out. I come down here Friday evening and I prayed in each one of these rooms down here that Satan removed from this place. I pled the blood, got Satan out. I don't want Satan to have a nail anywhere. You say, why? Preacher, why? You think it's demon possessed? It's always demon possessed. We live in a spiritual warfare and the forces of evil is like water. And when Christ vacates, it rushes in. You don't want him to have a nail. You don't want him to have a place in the house. Kind of like being inside of a car and it falls into the river. You break that window, that evil, that water, it's going to drown you. It wants in, it's going to get in. That's oppression. Don't let Satan have a nail in your house this morning. Give the nail to Christ. Let Him have full ownership. Say, I've been trying to live right, preacher. It ain't about trying to live right. If you ain't living right, then you ain't been born again. That's what the Bible says. He's clear over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, don't be deceived. Don't let Satan have that nail. Let's all stand this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Boy, does Satan have a nail in your house? Are there been things or decisions you were trying to make that didn't bring you closer to God, but farther from God? And you're like, man, I just didn't know if that was the right decision, or I thought maybe God did that. Nope. If it didn't bring you closer to God, then it was from the devil. You know, he is real. And yeah, he will present to you multiple choices. He'll paint a pretty picture if you let him have that nail. And then anytime he wants you, because he's been providing for you, he'll set his trash on that nail until you vacate. You got to bow to his power. Get that right today.